Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, October 27th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the American economy. Are we in a depression? If so, where is it? Where's the evidence of it? Since 2008, in response to the housing crash and the banking crisis, the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates at zero, or ZIRP, they call it, zero interest rate policy, record lows, effectively zero. The result is that those who save money earn nothing on their savings. They even lose money to inflation, while it also incentivizes people to borrow more and more. So debt goes higher and higher, both nationally and individually. The Federal Reserve has been purchasing debt in its program known as quantitative easing, or QE. But at the end of October, that is this week, folks, the Fed is scheduled to conclude quantitative easing. What is quantitative easing, or QE? Have you ever wondered what it really is? Well, Bill Bonner, writing for Laissez-Faire, has the answer for us. Quote, the Fed creates money. It buys treasury bonds from the banks. The banks are free to buy more treasury bonds. This transfers cash from the Fed to the federal government, and it saves the federal government from having to get it from other sources at higher rates of interest, end quote. So that is quantitative easing in a nutshell. The Fed adds huge amounts of money to the system. Since 2008, in an effort to support an economic recovery, the Fed has purchased over $3 trillion, now approaching $4 trillion in treasury bonds and mortgages. It is currently running around $15 billion per month, but last year it was $85 billion per month. The stock market seems dependent, or addicted, if you will, on this Fed stimulus. When it declines, the Feds enter the market and save the day. Jim Rickards, author of The Death of Money, says that the reason the recovery has not been stronger, despite numerous stimulus attempts by the Fed, is that the problems are not cyclical. They are structural. He says this economic downturn is a new depression. That's his word, depression. And it will last indefinitely until structural changes are made to the economy. So it's not just a cyclical downturn, Mr. Rickards is saying. It is structural problems in the economy itself. What are some of those changes that could change the very structure of our economy? Number one, reduction or elimination of capital gains taxes, corporate income taxes, and onerous regulation. Number two, building the Keystone Pipeline. Number three, reforming entitlement spending and repealing Obamacare. Mr. Rickards says those policies have nothing to do with money printing by the Fed, and that is why money printing has not fixed the economy, since these structural changes are not in the plans. Expect the depression to continue indefinitely. You may recall films and pictures of the Great Depression of the 1930s, or perhaps your parents or grandparents told you about it. Massive unemployment, people standing in soup lines, declining prices. Yet today there are no soup lines. Unemployment is 6.2%. Prices are generally stable. How then can there be a depression? Where is the evidence of this depression? Well, Mr. Rickards has the answer for us. The soup lines are here, he says. They're in your local supermarket. The government issues food stamps in debit card form to those in need who just pay at the checkout line. So the supermarket is today's soup line with food stamps. Despite what the government says, unemployment is at depression-era levels. If the Bureau of Labor Statistics used the depression-era method for calculating unemployment, it would be much higher, perhaps the low 20s or mid-20s. Millions are on disability, which tends to be just another form of unemployment insurance. What about prices? Prices declined about 25% during the Great Depression, but from 2009 to 2014, prices have risen about 10%. The Fed's money printing is responsible for that. Ben Bernanke was determined to prevent deflation at all costs, but fighting deflation alone does not solve the structural problems of the economy that lead to depressed growth. Instead, it creates an unstable tension in the economy. Depressions are naturally deflationary. Debtors in trouble sell off assets to pay debt, thus driving down asset prices. This causes other asset sales, and a downward spiral develops. Printing money is naturally inflationary, with excess money chasing a given quantity of goods. The price of those goods tends to rise. Price stability is the result of deflation and inflation acting at the same time. That situation is anything but stable. One side wins eventually, but the battle can last a long time. If the Fed stops chasing inflation, deflation will quickly overwhelm the economy. If they keep printing money, they will eventually get more inflation than they bargained for. Both outcomes are dangerous. The economy balances on the edge of destructive deflation and runaway inflation. One side could win, and very quickly, but which side? The Fed is at the crossroads with the announced end of quantitative easing. We will see, and time will tell, if QE at zero will hold or if it will trigger a deflationary response and provoke even more QE, in my view, some more QE, perhaps early 2015, is inevitable. Time will tell. We'll see, folks. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be a rough ride. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.